Okay. I had a really nice set of notes prepared. I put it in a three-ring binder. Had everything printed out in large print so I could read it, even if I didn't, even if I forgot my glasses. And I forgot my notes. So I'm going to kind of wing it. I remember the first few scripture references that I needed. The others I'll paraphrase, because I don't remember the exact ones, but you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm going to speak on humility and faith. That's going to be the crux of what I'm speaking on today. The reason for that is when I first got saved, I was into the faith movement, Kenneth Copeland and all that. And so that was the main driving force in the first part of my Christian life, was this faith message. Well, over time, I realized that there was something wrong, because the faith I was trying to practice and trying to use was not working. Nothing worked. I prayed, every person that I prayed for that had cancer died. I'm not kidding. I mean, we went to the hospitals and prayed for people. Everyone that I laid hands on to pray for healing died. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm not quite right here. And it wasn't until just recently that I realized that faith is very different than what we've been taught. I was talking to my sister the other night, and we were talking about faith, and her definition of faith was believing in something when there's no evidence of it. And I think a lot of people have been taught that. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that faith is based on just something that there's no evidence for. Absolutely does not say that. Where we got that, I don't know. Because the church is based on revelation knowledge, that God revealed his Son to your heart. And if that's not evidence, I don't know what is. Seriously, it's the creator of heaven and earth. Everything that is seen and everything that is not seen reached out and spoke to you with his Holy Spirit and touched your heart. And at one point you went, I believe it, I see it. Yes, he is. Well, that's the beginning of faith. That was our belief. God gave it to us. We didn't drum it up ourselves. We didn't really go out and seek it. It was a lot of people, went through a lot to get to that point. A lot of people's, like in my life was utterly destroyed at that point. And that happens to a lot of people. It doesn't happen to everyone, but still, just the same, God reaches out and touches our heart with his truth that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And that is the foundation. Now from there, let's see. This will go a little bit slow because my notes would have gone really fast. We start with Matthew 5. I'm going to read the Beatitudes and then jump through to the end of that teaching. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, chapter 6 and all of 7, but go into chapter 7, verse 21. I'm going to go to there now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, he's referring to chapters 5, 6, and 7, because it's a whole dissertation on the godly person, or in legal terms, the prudent man. The prudent Christian. These are all the things he is to pursue in his life. These are the things that, these characteristics that will manifest themselves through a belief in Jesus Christ. Because faith requires action. Also, the knowing part, in the book of Luke, well, at the end of all this too, he also says, the people marveled because he spoke with someone as authority and not as the scribes. So remember that word authority. Authority. The people around him recognized his authority, that he spoke with authority. We go to the centurion in the book of Luke, who sends his servants to get Jesus to heal his servant. And he says, I sent you my servants because I'm not worthy to come into your presence. And also, because of that, you don't need to come into my house. My house isn't worthy of you. But I am a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I tell my servant to do this, and he does it. He says, likewise, you also are a man under authority. Send your word, and my servant will be healed. So he recognized the authority of Jesus Christ, and he believed it, and he had faith in it, because he knew who Jesus was. He knew who he was. That's why he said what he said. That's why he did what he did, because he knew who Jesus was. And Jesus marveled and said, turned around to the crowd and said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. Now you got to remember, he's speaking as God at this point. He only says what his Father tells him to say. The words that are coming out of his mouth are his Father's words. So that tells me, that story was put in there to tell us the nature of faith. It's the nature of faith is understanding and believing and trusting in God. And not without evidence, because there was evidence. The centurion saw the evidence. That's why he believed. He saw the evidence. It isn't some pie in the sky magic thing that, well, I just didn't have strong enough faith. Yeah, probably, but you're mistaking what faith is. It's not a tool for you to get what you want. Amen. Faith is the foundation of your behavior. What you believe in requires action. Abraham believed God because God spoke to him. He believed him. And when God required him to sacrifice his son, he thought, well, God is true. He didn't lie. I'm going to be a great nation, so I'm going to do this. You know, God will provide the sacrifice. And so he went through with it. And we all know the story that he was stopped by an angel and a ram was provided for the sacrifice. That was the greatest deal of the century right there. That really opened the door for salvation right there. God knew that man had the capability of doing that. So we get on with, in the book of James, James says, faith without works is dead. And he goes on to explain, well, if somebody comes to you and they're destitute, they're hungry, and they need clothing, and they need shelter, and you say, oh, be blessed, you know. God's with you, have faith. Says, you haven't done anything. I'm paraphrasing here, guys. So he said, you know, faith without works is dead. If you really truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that God does, why would you withhold your behavior and not act accordingly? I think that's what he's saying here. He says, James says, if you believe and truly believe, it produces action. It becomes your nature. It becomes your first reaction. I mean, I think to get to that point, we do have to make choices and we have to seek things out. But God is more than willing to give us that. You know, he said in his word, you know, when, you know, asking, knocking, you know, knock, ask, receive. That's what it's all about. He gives us the faith we need when we seek the faith we need. But you can't even get to faith until you have humility. Can't get there. You can't get to any of God's blessings without humility. It just doesn't work. Didn't work in my life. It's not going to work in anybody else's life when you get full of yourself and do your things your own way. Yeah, you can make it look like you're successful. You can make it look like things are going well, but they really aren't because God doesn't know you. And when God says, get away from me, I never knew you, he's also saying, you never knew me. Because it goes both ways. He can't know you until you know him. And you can't know him without first humility and then the faith and belief in what he did. That's what it takes. And you can't even get to that broken spirit is what touches God. Pride is like a 120 decibel klaxon. And if you've ever been in a room where one of those things has gone off, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You cannot hear yourself scream at that level of noise. You can scream at the top of your lungs and you don't hear anything. You don't hear your own voice. That's what pride is like. Pride is like that 120 decibel klaxon, and it silences the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not outshout you. He will not override your pride. The Holy Spirit responds to humility, that submission and recognition of God who he is. Many years ago, when I was married to my first wife, her parents lived up in Campo, a place called Dog Patch. Well, it's full of scrub brush, manzanita, oaks. And one day we went for a walk because he had a real big piece of property and we went up on some railroad tracks and walked and we're on the way back and we could hear my mother-in-law hollering for us to come back quick. I don't know what was going on, but so we took a shortcut straight through the manzanita. Well, I realized right away that underneath the manzanita, it was clear. There was no brush. There was no branches. There was a space about 36 inches high where it was nothing but leaves. And so I get down on my hands and knees and, you know, hands and feet, and I'm going through there. And I come out on the other end, and I look back, and my wife is crashing straight through the branches. I'm saying, there's an open space underneath the bushes. Why don't you just, you know, get down your hands and knees and crawl through? You won't get hurt. And she says, I will not bow down for anyone. And I went, okay. And by the time she got out, she was bleeding. She had leaves stuck in her hair. Her clothes were torn. And she was a complete disaster. But by the Lord, she walked through upright. And that's kind of like us. When we insist on walking through without bowing down, that's the way we end up. We end up bloody and bruised and torn. But salvaging your pride just isn't worth it. I think that's all I have for the moment. Let me think here. Make sure I didn't leave anything out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. This word on faith, that faith requires action. Faith inspires action. Faith in you, Heavenly Father. Faith in that foundation that you sent your Son to pay for our sins, and that he rose on the third day, that our sins are washed away by his blood, and that he is forever making intercession for us. Father, let us keep this in mind. Let us keep this directly in front of us in all that we do, that we may stay humble to your word and to your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, because I know that we can only do that when we have a humble heart. And Father, we have trouble with that. We have trouble with a humble heart. Father, help us to be willingly humble, to see and react in humility in every situation. Let that faith build within us, Father, that faith of being humble towards you and believing you and trusting you, Heavenly Father, so that you can trust us with your word and with your spirit. Amen. Amen.